This is LBC with Sheila Fogarty. Call 0345 6060 973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850.
Get back to your calls in just a few moments. First, though, to the States, United States, where tonight Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump go head-to-head in the first of the presidential debates. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington reporter, is in Long Island, New York, where the debate is taking place at Hofstra University. I hope I got that right. Hello, Simon.
You got that absolutely right, Sheila. No stranger to presidential debates, Hofstra University. We were originally supposed, by the way, to be in Ohio tonight, but the university there that was hosting the debate couldn't come up with the money to secure the venue. So Hofstra University, which hosted the second Mitt Romney-Barack Obama debate back in 2012, said, well, we'll do it, we know how to do it, and we can afford it. So that's why we are here today in the glorious sunshine in Long Island, just outside Manhattan, with a debate that is now, what, about 10 hours away from happening in the building directly opposite the position from where I'm talking to you.
And will every American be indoors watching this thing?
I think so. I mean, we are told that the networks are projecting an audience in excess of 100 million people tonight. And remember that this debate won't be seen... Exactly. This debate won't be seen on a single network. It will be seen on all the broadcast networks and all the cable news networks. It's not organized by any one TV channel. It's organized by something called the Commission on Presidential Debates, which is made up jointly of Republicans and Democrats, with some media professionals providing advice. And look, I mean, there's a heightened atmosphere here under any circumstances. First of all, this is an extraordinary political moment. It's an extraordinary cultural moment. There's no way Hillary Clinton thought 15 months ago she'd be facing off against Donald Trump here in a few hours' time. And I don't think there's any way Donald Trump thought 15 months ago that he would need to be here tonight. But also, both candidates walk into that hall knowing that a new opinion poll published just a few hours ago by Bloomberg shows that this election at a national level is a dead heat. 46% apiece, with over 50% of undecided voters saying that these three presidential debates that we're going to witness over the next 3 weeks are going to play a substantial role in helping them make up their minds. This is a very, very high pressure moment for both candidates.
Historically, I mean, it's great that you've given me that assessment, but historically, how do they sit in the final result, these things?
Well, it's a very interesting question because, you know, usually if a candidate is in the lead going into the presidential debates, the debates themselves don't tend to make much of a difference. As you know, we're all going to be on tenterhooks looking out for the zingers that you'll see tomorrow morning on television, you know, when you wake up, those zingers that will be replayed again and again and again. But we're also on tenterhooks to see if either candidate makes a mistake. These are very, very unforgiving events, partly because they're seen live on television, partly now also, of course, because they're streamed online and there's a parallel live online conversation that takes place between people on Facebook and Twitter and the other social media platforms that will sort of formulate the decision about who won or who lost. And remember, when a candidate makes an unforced error, it can be deadly. I mean, George Bush the Elder glancing at his watch during a presidential debate to see how much longer he had to endure the contest. That was seen in part to put paid to his hopes of being re-elected. So, you know, an unforced error, an uncharacteristic mistake can make a big difference in a traditional American presidential election. What makes all this so much more interesting and exciting is that we've never seen a less conventional American presidential election, and we've never seen someone as relaxed and comfortable on television as Donald Trump participating in an event like this.
Is it fair to say, just finally, is it fair to say that Hillary Clinton, she has a fair number of voting groups sewn up, but one of them that she absolutely does not have sewn up is the angry, disenchanted white working class vote. How does she charm them? How does she get them on side?
I mean, I would actually say there are three groups she's got to worry about. Certainly the angry, disenchanted white men, and the chances are she can't do anything to bring them around at this point. They just view her as lacking in credibility, lacking in trustworthiness, and they don't like the cut of her jib. She's also got problems with millennial voters. She's not energizing them anywhere near the way that Barack Obama did back in 2008
or Bernie
and 2012.
In his campaign.
Or Bernie Sanders, absolutely. There's still huge problems that the Clinton campaign faces bringing his voters on side. And she's also got a problem with African-American voters, and Barack Obama has been addressing that. A few days ago, he said it would be a personal insult to him if the African-American voting community did not get behind Hillary Clinton the way they got behind him. But the reality is they're not behind her. And so I think she has to find a way of really coming across in this debate tonight as being authentic, credible, trustworthy. She mustn't look entitled, which is something she often seems to appear as on the campaign trail. She's got to find a way of reaching into those living rooms across the country and say, look, I genuinely get it. I understand, and she said this before, that some of you still have questions about me, but honestly, look at the alternative. You can trust me to do this. Mm. Trust is a big issue still for Hillary Clinton.
He always plays the man. Donald Trump always plays, you know, his opponent. He plays the man rather than the ball. She needs to do a bit of that with him, doesn't it? She needs to rattle him.
Yes, and I think she is going to try and goad him. We're told that the Clinton team has been reaching out over the last few days to people who have known Donald Trump well for years in a bid to understand how they think he's going to approach this debate from a temperament perspective. I mean, there is an expectation here that she's going to try and goad him, going to try and get him to say something extreme, you know, bigoted, violent, the language that he's exhibited time and again on the campaign trail. But, you know, the Trump team know that, and they are going to do everything they can to try and rein him in. The problem they've got is Donald Trump always resists attempts to kind of control him. He's not comfortable in an atmosphere in which he can't shoot from the hip. And I think we're going to be witnessing a very, you know, the question really is which Donald Trump is going to show up here tonight in a few hours' time. That may ultimately be the determinant of the outcome of this debate.
Simon, always great to talk to you. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent in Long Island, New York, where that debate is taking place at Hofstra University.